we all know that representation is important, and like that's literally why this podcast exists, is so that women video creators have a place to find other creators that are like them, understand their problems and the uniqueness of being a woman. But what are some of the other places that are having the same exact issue on the internet, and what are some ways that we can get more involved and do more? That's what we're going to talk about today. This is such a great conversation. I cannot wait to share it with you. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your videos to YouTube reach by studying titles, description, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? My name is Desiree. Welcome to the Women of Video Podcast. I am so excited to be up in your ears today to help you on your journey of this creator thing. It's been a minute since I did an introduction. I've been kind of in my feels and in my business and in my life lately, and so it hasn't been something I've been able to do. Now, the podcasts I know have stood very strong on their own, and they have a lot of great things going. And usually these introductions are just like context, or like me giving a little time with you, or maybe even like a little extra introduction of like what's happening in my world. So this is coming out in the middle of June of 2023, if you're listening to the replay. And I've been spending these last few weeks like really reflecting on like what it is I'm doing here on the podcast. And if you listened a couple episodes ago, I did this whole video about how not every revenue stream is for you, and shared with you that I am dissolving the Women of Video paid membership. It just wasn't right. It wasn't working. Like there's just too many things going on. I was not feeling it. It was just like brainchild, I think, from this whole Women of Video conference I was doing. And it was just hard. It was hard. And it wasn't hard to the point of like, where like, just because it's hard, you don't do it. It was hard like because it wasn't working. It was very defeating because no one was signing up. There were a lot of issues with it. And so I'm like, I just need to let this go. And I've been spending this time really trying to figure out, what do I want to do next? Like, what do I want to do with Women of Video, and how do I want to move it forward? And the two biggest things that come to mind for me are, one, I need to find a community, like a place for us to hang out and do the things. And I think when I come back from a long vacation I'm going on with my family in June, I'm going to focus on two to look at. One is Circle. It's like a membership platform that a lot of people join. Like I'm in two of them currently, one with Jessica Stansberry's YouTube group, one with Justin from Creator Wizards group, and like how they store things there and communicate and have conversations. So I'm going to explore that one. And I'm also going to explore Discord. I actually got this really great Facebook message from a girl. I believe her name is Marlene. And we just had a conversation. She was like, I really love what you're doing with Women of Video, but I was like, wasn't getting what I wanted from the membership. Again, reinforcing why I got rid of it. And like, she shared like how she's finding a lot of creators and stuff hanging out over on Discord. So I want to explore what Discord is actually like all about. In fact, we have an episode coming up with one of our speakers from Women of Video Conference today named Callie Keeley. And she's like a Discord expert. And so I want to like get into that and like learn about what it takes to build a really powerful Discord and see if that's like the right place for us to go hang out. Facebook is clearly not where it's at. Uscreen, this like platform that's a great platform for specific things, is just not where it was at for us. So trying to figure that out. So that's one of the things I'm really focusing on, is like, where are we going to go hang out offline, off the pod, to connect, communicate, and learn? And second, it's figuring out like, what are some other things I can do to help expand what we do with Women of Video beyond like where we hang out. I'm toying with some ideas of like in-person events around specific creator environments, like doing something at VidSummit, doing something at VidCon Baltimore. I will be on vacation for VidCon LA, so I won't be there. The FOMO is strong though. Maybe like doing some classes or online webinar things or whatever, like seeing if that's right. I'm also going to be exploring some like mini sub podcast in the podcast. I have this idea I want to do. I think it's like a money series, and I would bring in like money making opportunities. We would have men on the podcast breaking that mold, but very much like under the specific subgenre, as a way to like give more really helpful value to everyone listening and stuff. So I'm just playing with stuff. So those are my two things, like where we're going to hang out and where we're going to continue to have that conversation. So look forward to that and figuring that out. Probably I'll have a solid decision and a plan for where we're going probably by fall of 2023. So yay. So stay tuned for that continued story. So on to today's podcast. So today's podcast, I talk with Danielle. I've known Danielle for years. She is a fellow nerd like myself. And I love that she has been building these great online podcast spaces, video podcast spaces, around being a person of color, women, and also like women tech and graphics and stuff. And so she's got these really great brands she's building, these stories that she's telling with her co-hosts that really have helped her position herself as a strong business professional in what she's doing. We just talk about a lot of different things in this podcast I find is really valuable. So without diving any more into it and taking anything away from you, let's dive into the podcast. I hope you all have your earballs on hard because we're going to probably make you laugh and listen a lot today because I got like my counter in energy, Danielle, on the show today, and it's going to be good. Hi, welcome, Danielle.
Hi, everybody. Five stars.
Five stars, yes, be here. Okay, Danielle, why video?
Because I like being able to visually connect with people. I use video in so many different ways, like speaking like this on a podcast or a video podcast of any kind, being able to just share my message. And I think video is the way in our Mandalorian voice that we can do that.
I absolutely love that. That's a really good, like, succinct answer to it. So tell us, what do you do on the internet that involves the videos?
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? I started out really early on with crafty tutorials and advanced things. That was my jam. I'm the typical blurred that you'd want to see on YouTube creating all the cool stuff. That was me. And then I kind of pivoted as my business started to gain momentum. So as my digital marketing agency grew, I decided to kind of pivot a little bit from that, still do the nerdy stuff that I love, also combine that with this level of more intuitive video, vlogs, things along those lines to kind of help people level up in the game of marketing.
Now, you do a great deal with podcasting as well. So what's that journey like in relation to like what you've done professionally and what you do with video?
Yes. So for me, podcasting is such a beautiful storytelling. I love telling stories. I love sharing other people sharing their stories on our platform, right? It's a big part of this video world that we're in right now. So being able to do that across More Than Graphics Podcast, which is literally a safe virtual space for women in tech and women creatives. It's co-hosted by women of color. It is a top-ranked podcast. I love the fact that I get to sit in my chair every day and shoot the breeze with real women who do amazing things, who also have a level of inspiration, education, we talked about inspiration, but inspiration, education, and really this level of grit. That's really where this comes from. I'm not going to hold bars. We do not hold hands on that level. We don't sugarcoat. I love that my podcast is able to do that for other women.
And I love that you do that for the most because you do my favorite thing, which have niche audiences. So you said that you have the podcast with about graphics and you have a podcast that's about women of color. So why, like, what is the story of those two podcasts and like why they came to be?
Yeah. So the More Than Graphics podcast is literally after my lifestyle mantra, which is More Than Graphics. And it became more of a marketing slogan in the beginning, of course. And you're just so much more than graphics. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I can turn that into something. And then it evolved into being more than that, right? It evolved to being the dot, dot, dot. Instead of using graphics, it could be more than whatever you want to put in there. And especially for women in our industry, specifically around tech, and often in the creative field, we kind of put ourselves, right, in this kind of fishbowl kind of scenario. Sometimes we box ourselves in. And it's just from the naturalness of our industry that is male dominated, that we kind of continue to do this deep introspection. And the More Than Graphics podcast is a way for us to kind of break that mold a little bit. So that's where the idea for More Than Graphics really came from.
Okay. So what do you find? So you said something interesting that it always triggers me here on this podcast, which is male dominated, because that happens all the time, whether we want it to, like it to or not. And yeah. So what do you see in with creators of color and in the graphic space that kind of like puts women and people of color, quote unquote, lower on the totem pole? Like, what does that look like? And how, because I'm pretty sure there's probably a lot of similarities, like how we're perceived with women in video, where a lot of it is like across the board, we know like women mm-hmm. make less on the things, but what does that look like in those spaces?
In those spaces, it's more of, you know, what is considered safe? For a lot of women that say they're for women, sometimes they're not for all women, to be really honest. And so this whole podcasting journey has really been a way for me to niche down in some areas and really allocate some advocation around these particular voices, women of color. So whether you are on the full end of one spectrum to the other, we just want to surround you and support you and encourage you. But definitely, I feel like in a lot of ways, women of color specifically still have that backseat just because of the privilege that a lot of other women who are not of color still have and still kind of gatekeep in some areas. So I do want to address that while we as women of color have definitely overcome a lot of barriers and we're being more loud and things along those lines, we're advocating for ourselves in all the right ways. There's still some barriers that are just buried underneath generations of privilege that we're still unpacking.
What are some of those barriers that you're helping to break through? I know recently I was listening to a podcast, I think it was The Financial Feminist, and they had a guest on, and she was talking about how in the last few years, especially from COVID, women of color have had the greatest growth in the entrepreneurial space, which I think is amazing, because mm-hmm. I think that, and as she had said, that they're just realizing that they are able to have more power and control by taking control of their money and their professional careers. What are some of the barriers that you're seeing that in this space that we can relate to and or help you with?
Sure, visibility. There are plenty of women just like us, excuse me, right now that are really having that in-depth discussion right now, like what is working for us. Obviously, allyship, that's a huge part of it, right? We talk about any other marginalized groups in and around having that type of allyship with others who may have the platform but want to, you know, anchor or amplify other voices. I think that's amazing. I think that's a great way that we can collaborate together to make impact. I think overall, that's really my overarching message with this is together we can do more, right? And so that means sometimes it's easier for us to say more, but sometimes when it's easier to partner with others who have more of that hands or boots on the ground could really be amplified by the possible platform of someone else. That's where the real change can happen and real impact take place for other women of color who are looking to amplify their message and visibility.
And I think that that's just so important to really hone in on like that message, who you are, and not let anything or any barriers stop you. I know here on the podcast, I have so many conversations with men that are like, why does this podcast even exist? Why does it matter that you're a woman in video? Why can't you just be like the best video creator that you can be? I was like, you know, I'd love that. I love that that was the world that we lived in. I'm sure there are so many other segmented people that wish that as well. But we wish it was about just being the best and being who we are and what we are about so that we can stand out and just thrive there. But the data shows that like women creators make up less than 12% of YouTube's top trending videos. And we know that women make 58 cents on the dollar compared to male creators. And there was a whole study that was done about creators of color. It talked about like their pay discrepancies, and they broke it down by the different segments of the people of color, women and men, like all so many things. So it's like, until there is that equality, like there's not going to be. I went to an event in Las Vegas. It was a Creator Economy Live, and they had a whole panel up there of like people who were in charge of some really big brands. We're talking like Pinterest and Peloton and all that kind of stuff. And someone stand up and said, like, what are your brands doing to reach out and work with influencers of color? And all of them were like, we'd like to, we just don't know how to. Like, essentially, that was like the unfiltered version of it. And my response to it is less like, well, if you want to, you should do it, because they're out there. They're not hard to find. They're so easy to find as any other creator that's out there. So it's like, you have to consciously do the work. And a lot of people, I don't think, tend to do that, whether they do it intentionally or not.
Absolutely. And I, just to add on to that, I think that's wonderful. I think in a lot of areas where people are reaching out or trying to find maybe vendors or women or podcasters specifically of color to work with, that is such a huge element to let them know that it's, hey, it's okay to talk about, you know, have that conversation to begin those initial conversations. And a lot of times in corporate, right, it's just kind of a wave of let's talk about it for a moment and then wax on, wax off kind of fields in some areas. And I'm not a big person about that. I feel like if you're going to invest, especially in people of color, do it because you actually believe in it. It because you know it's going to actually profit and benefit your community. And I think that's another big concern, obviously, as we talk about corporate, nonprofit sectors, things along those lines, because it is a little bit different across the board there. But especially in these areas where these big brands are looking for people of color, creators of color of any kind, it's super important to be transparent in that transaction.
Yeah. Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it. So what to pivot from people of color to the other brands that you work with, like the graphics component, do you find that there is still a gap between men and women or people of color in the graphics space? And I ask that because when I went to college, so I have my bachelor's of art in multimedia design and animation, and I was the only girl in my class that graduated. This is 2007. But there has been a lot of like data that has come out. I think that it was Hello Sunshine that kind of led, that spearheaded like the information giving that talked about the number of women who were in animation, the number of women who were like behind the scenes, the writers, the directors, the producers, like how small it was. Like, even though like, I know, and I paid attention to the animation one just because that was like my background. They said like 50% of graduates from graphic design schools were women, but women make up like less than 20% of like the animation industry. So is this still an issue that like we're dealing with, and how, again, if it is, how are you overcoming this?
Yes. Short answer, yes. Okay. Long answer, I feel like in a lot of ways, this really depends on your level of comfort as a creator. And so I do think that this is something that overall, yes, women have to be more visible. We are being more aggressive and willing to be in these spaces. I think that was definitely not as much the case 10 years ago. I feel like 20 years ago, the tenacity to want to be in these places are very difficult to enter. So I feel like over the past 10 years, we've done more of each one teach one. We've done a lot more of realizing that, hey, we could do this together instead of it just being me. When we are being leveled up or promoted in certain areas, it's no longer just us walking into these spaces that seem like, you know, cold to us. It's now more, okay, I'm here, I'm in this space. Now I know I can bring, you know, Susan with me. I know that I can bring Lucy behind me. I know that I can bring, you know, Miranda and, you know, Chandra with me. I know that in these spaces, now, as we progress forward as women, especially in video, we realize that there's more of us. And because there's more of us, we want to do more to open the door wider for the platform. So that's kind of how I feel mostly about that particular topic, because we're doing it. We're slowly doing it. It is definitely a progression. We're not really going to see as much the immediate results we want to see, but it's the slow and steady pace that finishes the race.
I know that we had a real big moment, at least in the graphic space, when Turning Red came out, because it was like the first animated movie, like not like Pixar, like first animated movie where it's like
Right.
all of the people in charge, like the director, the producer, head animator, all that, they're all women. And I know that the writer and the producer, they were Asian Pacific, like they were from that area, and like that's why it was like 10,000 times more impactful as well. So I love that we're having these moments of impact, but I hope that they become less than moments and become more the normal. Like I don't want I would love to be able to be like, all right guys, Women of Video is shutting its doors because women are finally on pace for the creator economy and being equal to men. So my work here is done. Thanks. Like those are the days that's the day I'm looking forward to, but I'm sure I got a ways to go before I get to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I love what you're doing with your communities, but we're also wanting to dive into like that brand and business that you're building. So you are one of the masterminds behind a podcast studio and all the things that you do. Share with us how you've turned podcasting into a full-time lucrative profession, because I know we're all dying to know.
Baby steps. That's like the number one rule I could tell you. This was
Okay.
not built overnight. This was not Rome wasn't built in a day. Neither was this. This was something that was incremental grow, right? It was a slow grow. Something that we talk about often, with Pinterest. It's a slow grow. It's not something immediate. So when I started this, it was literally very much similar to a corner of a corner of my living room, actually. Where my Christmas tree normally stands. And I literally just kind of started turning on my camera every day and talking about topics that were encouraging to me, but also planning out things that I wanted to teach about, right? Coming from a graphic standpoint, we wanted to talk about, things that are super important, like what systems to use, what programs are good. When we start talking about podcasting, what mics that I encourage people to use to try out for the first time. Maybe it's something a little bit more on the scale of what if you're creating graphics for YouTube, what are some basic things that you can expect to create, like a frame, a simple frame video around like this for Women of Video. I think it's really important that when we get in these teaching modes in areas, depending on what you're talking about, it's important to plan ahead. And so I did take the time to sit down with myself and plan ahead. I also got to work with a couple of different people from different teams and different types of women from different landscapes and backgrounds. And that helped me also allocate what was more important in priority of putting out the videos that we wanted to produce. So, yes, I absolutely love that we could talk everything from podcast mics to graphics to clothes to all the nerdy things. I cover all those different topics, and I think it's really important that when we talk about being present on video, we're showcasing an element of ourselves every single time. And we keep showing up in these spaces every single time. So when we do that, we're finding more and deeper ways for other people to connect with us. So whether they've been with us in the first video or they're with us with the 500th video, they can kind of see and feel the energy in and around the things that we produce.
So you've mentioned something that I think we need to talk about. You talked about how you started talking about this one thing and it's slowly been able to add on more and more. One of the things that happens to every creator on their journey, if it hasn't happened to you yet, stay tuned, CP, it's coming, okay? Is that you want to diversify. You want to be more than just this one thing that you have like pigeonholed yourself into. Even if it's something as big as like, I am a family creator. I am a beauty creator. I ran into this with myself. Like I have been a social media marketer for so long. And I'm like, but I'm more than this. I'm a person with feelings and needs and interests.
Yes.
But it's so hard to bridge the gap. And those are the things that 1000% make you relatable and have human connection and stuff, but it can be so hard to integrate them in and let them still maintain a level of monetariness. How have you done this? And how do you encourage the other women that like you manage and lead through this as well?
Yes. This is great. This is an ongoing conversation, ongoing learning experience. So Things that I say are not always like, I want to make sure people know, like, I'm a student. I'm a fresh student. So I love the fact that you mentioned this, because in a lot of areas we tell them, one, stick to the things that you feel confident about. Now, when I say that, that's not always where we end up, right? Sometimes it's starting with, if a woman is really encouraged and empowered to talk about lifestyle topics, whether it's just in the kitchen or in the home or products, things along those lines, we start there. Start with what they're comfortable with, because that's what's going to make them more naturally want to produce more, right? And then eventually, if they come across something over the next 2 to 3 years, we say, hey, what else are you interested in? You know, what else are you, what other things could be used in the same space? And that's where we start pivoting, right? And a lot of people, and again, I see this all the time on YouTube, where we start in one place and then we end up rebranding and doing something completely different and starting in another place. And then we end up, you know, maybe pivoting again and going to a different place. I just feel like all of these are pieces of a playlist, right? When we think about music, we think about all the different playlists that we have for our music. We're not only Michael Jackson fans, we're also Janet Jackson fans. You know, we're not only in one specific genre. I'm a huge Chris Stapleton fan, so Chris got his own place in our playlist. So I just feel like in a lot of ways we talk about how to speak to women when they talk about pivoting or wanting to go a different direction or have all these different parts in one place. What I've learned most over time is your authenticity will outshine everything that you do. So if it's authentically and it works with, in collaboration with your audience and your following, no matter what you do, maybe one day it's fashion, the next day it's video games, they're going to want to follow you anyway because they're attached to you and your authenticity and what you bring to the table. So that's kind of the wisdom that we've been able to embed in a lot of different women who start in one place and go to another.
And I think that it's so important. Like, that's one of the things I'm working on with my adjustment to my YouTube channel. I have a video that went out when we record this, like, yesterday. And it's, like, it's kind of annoying to me because you never know what video it's going to be. This one's going, like, really viral for me. And I'm like, why did it have to be this one? But the title of the video is called My YouTube Channel is Dying. This Sucks. And I talk about, like, why this happened. Like, what I did. And then, like, how I'm fixing it. And the biggest thing that I'm doing is, you know, we fundamentally have had this change in YouTube culture where that how-to SEO strategy is, like, going way down in priority. And, like, more personable, eye-catching, connecting content, especially starting with that thumbnail and the title, is, like, what's really getting people into the game for, like, building long-term relationships and community. SEO strategy super has relevance and necessity, especially around, like, business stuff. Like, if you do a business that is kind of search and reactive done, like anything in home service, honestly, like construction, plumbing, water damage, all that, like that SEO search strategy is super relevant. When you're trying to build a community in long term and show up and get people to, like, watch you on an ongoing basis, you can give them a continuous stream of information. It's not going to work. And so I've been going through, like, that adjustment. And the big part of that strategy that my coach is like, you need to be more you. And I'm like, I am the you-iest person you'll ever meet. Like, I'm all about sharing the staffs and the ness of myself. But she's like, I know, you got to show it. So I've been like, I'll sit in my, because I think it's really easy to just sit in my little box here and just be like doing my jam. And I'm like, I got to, like, go outside sometimes. I have to, like, take people on the drive. I got to add in the cute kids from time to time and the husband that's immensely supportive. You know, like, when I'm getting a cat in a month, she'll definitely be making all the appearances on the YouTube channel. But I got to, like, bring people in through that. That's why, like, when I talk about, like my bio, it's like YouTuber, podcaster, author, Slytherin. Because, like, that right there is one of those things that people, like, it's instant conversation starter. One, people are like, yes. Or they're like, girl, are you sure? You know, or Red like, entrepreneur here. Yeah, my family, fun fact, all four of us, we're one of each. I have one of everything in my family. My husband's a Gryffindor. My sons are even called, my daughter is a Hufflepuff. That girl can eat pancakes till she's blue in the face. So it's a whole family. We all love it. They all love it. It's been fun. But It's, but like I said, it's a connecting point. It's a conversation starter. Even if it's like a, you're too old for this, or I hate millennials and their obsession with Harry Potter. I'm like, well, let's have, that's a conversation starter. So we know what we're talking about. Right. So yeah. Having those personal tie-ins and those personal connections allows you to build better relationships. That's why I like doing the podcast, because I get to know these so many amazing women more personally than I already do. And then they can learn about me, and we can share stories and experiences and all this stuff so that we can learn and feel connected. And most importantly, we can feel seen. On that same exact video that talked about feeling, I got tons of comments that are like, thank you for sharing the bad stuff. I'm sick of everyone's highlight reels, their success stories, and all the things that they're doing right. And I'm like, okay, as hard as this video was for me to do, I'm glad I did it. So, because it's people get to go on the journey. I'll have to do a follow-up, of course, all the things. But it's just, it's a whole thing, right? We gotta be ourselves. And sometimes it's a little hard when we're trying to like keep things safe and people safe and have that, what is it, that barrier, that boundary, there's the word I was looking for, to do this.
I completely agree. I'm right with you. I feel like in a lot of ways, that's what our biggest enemy in a lot of areas always is ourselves, right? That's always the biggest hurdle. So when we think about, you know, all the outside world, and we think about, you know, men dominating this field and blah, 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 it's more of a come to self, right? A call to action to ourselves. So I encourage like anyone who's like in those bubbles or in those spaces to reactivate yourself. You can respawn and do it again and do it better.
I love that. I love that so much. So sorry to interrupt our episode. I know we're getting really into it, but are you looking for a powerful, easy to use tool that can help you take your video to the next level? If so, I've got just the tool for you. Today's episode is brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one solution for all of your content creation needs. With Adobe Express, you can easily create stunning videos, design eye-catching thumbnails, clip and trim your videos with ease, and schedule your content for social media. One of the standout features of Adobe Express is the range of thumbnail templates that are available. With dozens of customizable templates to choose from, you can create thumbnails that are both visually appealing, informative, and help your videos stand out on that crowded home feed of YouTube. And when it comes to video clipping, it makes it so much easier to repurpose your content from those long-form videos to all of the other vertical video platforms, and you can easily share them with the scheduling tool within Adobe Express. So if you're ready to take your content creation to the next level, head over to Adobe Express and start your free trial today. You can find the link to get signed up for today over in our show notes at womenofvideo.com. And remember, Adobe Express is the perfect tool for taking your content to the next episode. All right, back to the episode. All right, so I always love to know business stories. So what is a story you can share with us that was maybe like a struggle or a huge victory that you've had, and like how that, what that journey looked like that we can learn from and be inspired by?
Oh man. So there's a lot. One good one that I really love to reshare over and over again is a very early story of when I went from being a freelancer to an actual business. So in the beginning, as all freelancers do, we start with our initials. And so I was DLM Designs for a long time. And eventually when I moved to more of a business setting and I started adding on more teammates, things along those lines, we evolved into Octane. Now, Octane itself is, if you don't know what that is, it's a gas. It's actually the pressure of a particular type of gas that ignites, you know, it goes on fire, which is great because, you know, girls are on fire. And I absolutely love all the symbolism that goes with it. My company colors were the same. They're still the same. It's one of those situations where I felt really attached to who we were. I felt like our branding was really saying who we are. And so one day I came across a detailed car shop. I won't say the name. I'll just tell you it's a car shop. And they actually were looking for a company to work with them on their graphics. And so I had already precursored the conversation. I had done some emails and a phone conversation. They were ready to sit down and talk to me more one-on-one. And so these were all very kind of cold exchanges, even though I said my name at the bottom of a lot of the communications we were having. And I sat in the lobby for a while. And I was the only woman in the lobby waiting to be seen. And by golly, finally, a secretary walked out into this open lobby space. It wasn't very big because it's just a car detail shop. And they said, well, it doesn't look like Octane showed up today. And I kind of, as soon as she said the name, I was like, excuse me, I'm with Octane. And the secretary went back into the office, I guess where the main boss was. And he actually came out and was like, oh, we were expecting a guy. Do you, is this his, are you like a secretary or his, you know, assistant, something? And I tell you, I literally knew from that moment that this project probably wasn't the project for me. And I made a very quick, no, we are a woman-owned company. Thanks for acknowledging that and noticing. But yeah, I definitely had like maybe a 5-minute conversation with him and went out the door. Out the door with my head high.
So much nicer than me. I would have been like, you clearly did not do the research on our company before our meeting today. So why don't you message me when you're more prepared for actual conversation? So for the success of both of our businesses, I would have been out. Like, that is unacceptable. And like I said, you are a better woman than me. Like, I would not have been about that.
It was definitely like, I was blown. I was like, are you serious? Like, you, the level of homework that people need to do before you sit down.
I mean, how hard is it to go to an about section on a website? You and your partner are like at the very top of the website. Like, that's ridiculous. I think I'm most mad about it is that it was in person. Like you could have hung up on a Zoom call, but that was like an in-person situation that involved gas and Spanx. And I'm sad for you.
Right. Exactly. I'm like, man, the gas. The gas is what it is. It's the time, it's the energy, right, that we take into wanting to seek out a potential project. It sounded very promising, but I had to very quickly turn away. And I'm glad they were able to find someone that meets their needs. I'm glad that it was something that allowed me to learn also on my end and making sure that we are proudly putting ourselves out there, that people visibly understand who we are before they even walk in the door. So, yeah.
My CPA, she actually has been a guest on the podcast. Her name is Devin Weber, and she's the CEO of Braille Skateboarding, which is like the largest skateboarding brand on YouTube.
Yes.
And she's amazing, but she always has to tell people, like she does like a warning email. She's like, just so you know, I'm a woman. So you're not confused when I walk in the door or we walk into our And I'm like, and I think
we have to do that.
Her name is Devin and it's skateboarding. So there's this assumption that it's like a man. And so I just think it's just that extra, like men don't do that. Never. Mm-hmm. Men are like, nope, this is me. It's like always kind of obvious a little bit, no matter what their background, their race, their origin, they never ever mistaken like if they're a woman or not. So.
It's their hard coding. I mean, it really is just that they're wired in that way.
They're
cracks me up.
They're man Cassidy, right? It's just, you
yeah,
know?
It is. That's a great word. Hashtag that.
It's kind of like, you know, the audacity or the caucasity. It's the mandacity of it all.
Yes, it is. I'm going to use that later.
Do it. Make it a shirt. The mandacity of it all. Yes. Oh, I just love like getting some time with you. I think my favorite part about knowing you, Danielle, is that like not only are you in my space, but you're just as nerdy as me. Like, if you ever see her stuff, she's so awesome with like sharing the different like Star Wars days or excitement about video games, all the things that are happening in the world of pop culture. I used to be much better about sharing that. I'm just busy and I'm just like, I'm kind of like on this like emotional, like, I don't want to do that right now phase of my life. But I was just at a Comic-Con last weekend. Like, I'm like, I did this. Like, I bought fan art.
Yes.
And stuff. Like, if you see my shelf behind me, you're like, she's got stuff. I mean, I've got vintage Simpsons dolls from Burger King.
Oh, look here. Yes.
This stuff behind me here. My Ursula doll. I got all kinds of stuff. So it's just this whole thing. I just love like your true authentic self attracts people that you want. And I'm sure that because you are your true authentic self in all areas of your life, and like especially when you're projecting it online, it allows for you to attract the right people to your brand or business. Have you ever had somebody, maybe while you've been your most authentic self or before you were your most authentic self online, they're like, this is not right? I know you just gave us a really great example of that, but I feel like we really need to reinforce this authenticity and acceptance. It's okay to let whatever your nerd flag fly be for you.
Oh, yes. wow. I absolutely, yes. Nerd flag is really like high here. So it stays at high staff all the time. We are really about having that sense of cultural awareness for ourselves, that what works for us, and what doesn't work for us, doesn't work for us. And for a lot of different people who are in video, sometimes that message can get a little convoluted, right? We kind of go toward whatever the trending moment is. We want to go toward whatever the latest, you know, news flash is, things along those lines. And that works to a certain extent, but that mellows out over time. And so what are you left with when you don't have the trending thing? What are you left with when you're not using the most brightest, you know, trending colors or the trending phrases or the trending hashtags? You're left with yourself. So having that super inner confidence in yourself, whatever that may be, maybe that's talking about Tupperware for 45 minutes. Maybe that's actually talking about, you know, toys and t-shirts and apparel, whatever that is, you're left with yourself. And if you have confidence in that, everything else will just kind of synergy around you. And I'm, again, talking about that energy you put out in the world comes back to you in a lot of ways. And I'm all about being positive, being an absolute nerd, and being, you know, a great member of House Ravenclaw. Thank you.
Right. Sorry, Slytherin. I don't know what my hand signal is, but like if I have a gang sign for Slytherin, I would throw it up right now. It gets a bad rap, okay? It's a real bad rap, but it's the color. I look excellent in emerald green. You don't even know, guys. Excellent.
Blue is my jam, so I guess it works out.
I look great in blue too. Like that's a power color for me, so I'm just saying. Just rock that for a second. All right, Danielle, it's always amazing to talk to you. You and I could go and go and go and go. I know we can. Where can people learn more about you and, of course, tune in to your podcast and what it is that you have going on?
Absolutely, thanks. LexOctane.com is where you can find me on business side. We are at Octane Designs with Ness on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all the fun places. And of course, I absolutely want you to follow More Than Graphics Podcast at mtgthepodcast.com.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. You are always a pleasure. And if you haven't had a chance, she actually did one of our Lunch and Learn sessions talking about video podcasting. I'm going to have the link to where you can go watch that replay in our show notes. And I am just so grateful for your time. You and everyone listening are possibly amazing. Until next time, peace.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.